taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
Welcome back to it. My next guest, Frank Vernuccio, regular contributor. Because he gets up at this hour, which too many people just can't drag themselves out of bed. Frank's ready for action. Frank Vernuccio, editor-in-chief, New York Analysis of Policy and Government. Welcome back.
Hey, great to be with you.
Yeah, you're into full contact at an early hour, which I greatly appreciate. let's start with Sally Yates. Talk about full contact. Boom, you're gone.
Look, the reality of it is, this administration is doing more in the first couple of days than most presidents do in an entire administration. That means there's a lot of criticism that's going to come down the pike.
Well, I greatly appreciate it. I want to just focus on several things that are going on. I mean, there's so much going on, it's hard to keep up with. But I want to talk about, okay, so she's gone. Barack Obama breaks precedent and protocol and comes out and starts criticizing President Trump. 10 days after he left office, it's unheard of in my life. In fact, I have to go back three generations to find anything even remotely comparable.
You know, the fact of the matter is, the level of criticism that this president has been receiving is unprecedented in U.S. history. The combination of factors, whether we're looking at the Black Lives Matter movement, which not only protested in a very serious way in Washington, whether it's the fact that they've marched in California saying kill white people, whether it's the folks who are burning American flags in cities around the country, whether it's the news media, which is in many cases simply furious that their chosen candidate lost the election. We are seeing something that goes beyond a protest movement, that goes beyond merely expressing freedom of thought. We're seeing something that is in its concerted and financed attempt to overturn the results of the 2016 election. This goes beyond politics. It is indeed close to a rebellion. When you have, for example, in the state of California, talking about ways to either secede or to suspend payments owed to the federal government, that's something far beyond anything we've seen before. Indeed, the only indicia we can see, or the only similarity we can see, is something in the past is firing on Fort Sumter after the election of Abraham Lincoln.
I think that California should not secede. I think it should be split in half so that the people of California are more appropriately represented, because a large millions of people in California are not represented at all by the people that run that state. That's a fact. By the way, there are something on the order of 73 sitting, 16 senators, 57 House members, all Democrats, who supported this kind of executive order that Donald Trump put forth when their party was in power. And now that it is not, they scream bigotry, they scream xenophobia, they scream all these things. How completely disingenuous. They're liars.
Well, how come these folks are really the folks who are criticizing President Trump said nothing about that President Obama had the worst record in terms of appearances before the Supreme Court than any president in modern history? Where was the media then? Where were these protesters who claiming they're worried about the rights of individuals? Where were they during the entire 8 years of the Obama administration?
I was asked last night during an appearance on Newsnight on the BBC, if people where I live are supporting Donald Trump, even though he's doing all of these things, of course, the BBC wildly left on many things. I said, not only are they supporting him, I believe if the election were held today, 10 days after he's been in office, he would win more votes than he did originally. And I believe that from the heart of this nation, seeing a politician doing exactly what he said he was going to do, people that are looking out for America first and safety. And this is not a ban on refugees. It's certainly not a ban on being Muslim, because the largest Muslim nation, Indonesia, isn't affected. The nation with the second largest amount of Muslims, that being India, isn't affected. Pakistan isn't affected. So it's nonsense to call it a Muslim ban, and it's for 120 days. Syria has a different circumstance because their paperwork is even more difficult to figure out, so it could take them a bit longer. But it's certainly not permanent. It's a temporary ban, and it's looking out for the best interest of America. And I believe because of that, Frank, that Donald Trump would do better today in election than he did in November.
In terms of that ban, let's look at some of the numbers. The population of Muslims throughout the world, 1.7 billion. The numbers of Muslim-majority countries, 50. those countries that are actually affected by the ban, seven out of the 50. Total population affected, 212.8 million out of a population of 1.7 billion. Those are trivial numbers compared to the totals.
Indeed, it is trivial. Here's a comment from one of the listeners that just came in moments ago. Not taking in Syrian refugees and closing our borders isn't mean or heartless. I lock the doors of my house each night. I don't lock them because I hate the people outside my house. I lock my doors because I love the people inside my house. How perfect is that?
It is. Your listener has an extraordinary gift for summarizing the whole thing just in a nutshell. Look, this is absolute nonsense. The protest here, simply doesn't deal with reality whatsoever. Oh, by the way, the fact that 8 U.S. Code, I believe it's 1182, gives the president this authority. What we saw in the past certainly supersedes or certainly overwhelms anything that President Trump has done so far. Can anyone forget the fact that President Carter, at the end of the 1970s, threw Iranian students out of the United States?
They don't even know that, Frank. That's the thing. They don't even know that 50,000 Iranian students were ordered to come and show up with their papers. Now, does that sound a little bit Nazi-esque? A little bit, eh? Show up with your papers. We have ways to make you talk. Bring your papers. And if you didn't have your papers in order, you were tossed. Nobody talks about that. Go on.
Nor does anyone talking, by the way, about the fact that President Obama actually outlined these countries and did something very similar as well. No one seems to want to talk about this, which, by the way, all goes to this point that it is no longer simply a protest. It's a concerted effort on the part of the media and a part of very well-financed leftist organizations to overturn the results of the 2016 election.
Well, it's not going to get overturned, and in fact, like I said, people are applauding this president for doing exactly what he said. He needs to remain steadfast, and he needs to remain on course at this point. And if the Democrats think they can stand in his way and stop it from happening, they've got a rude awakening coming. For example, tonight, the president is likely to name his nominee to replace Antonin Scalia on the Supreme Court. Democrats say they won't even take a vote on it. I can assure you, if they take that tact and that seat remains unfilled in 2018... there's going to be a sea change in the Senate that'll see them in a minority they will never soon recognize, right or wrong.
Absolutely right. There's one other factor, and you just brought it up by that example. In many ways, these protests are not necessarily directed exclusively at Donald Trump. In many ways, they are part of what is starting to be a civil war for the Democrat Party leadership. The Democrat Party of Harry Truman or John F. Kennedy no longer exists. Particularly when we're talking about putting someone like Keith Ellison in charge of the DNC.
A guy who embraced Louis Farrakhan, a guy that I can lovingly call a kook. I mean, seriously, Louis Farrakhan is a kook. There's no other good word for him. And he was supported by this candidate.
That's exactly right. And in fact, if Keith Ellison does get that position, we're going to have to see a real split within the Democratic Party. These folks who are doing the most vehement of the protesting,
yes,
in many ways are the ones who want to make sure the Democrat Party no longer exists in the format that we knew.
Well, I can tell you this, the Democratic Party of John Kennedy doesn't exist. Frank, I have to run. Always a pleasure. Glad you get up to do this with us. You're wonderful. Thank you.
Great being with you. Look forward to our next discussion.
All right, Frank Vernuccio there. I think it's a civil war for Western values and Western civilization, more accurately. Back after this.